Oh, it's nice having that table, huh? How y'all tonight? What's that? How am I doing? I'm doing great. Had to find out from all the circuits how they were doing. Well, I'm glad to see some of y'all here. You know, I want to tell y'all that some of y'all need to be patient, okay? One thing I noticed about the Indians I work with, they're very patient people. If one night they come to church and they don't get instantly healed, they come back the next night. They don't get mad and quit. They keep coming back. And they keep coming back. And in a minute, they'll walk up and tell me, "Hey, man, remember what we was praying for? I got healed. Hallelujah." So I'm happy about that. So I'd just like to encourage y'all. If your schedule allows you and permits you to, just keep coming because we're praying. God is doing some fanatical things. Fascinating things. It's making lots of people mad, but it's making lots of people glad. Hallelujah. It's making lots of devils mad, but it's making God happy. And I'm glad. Amen. Would y'all stand up with me, please, in Jesus' name? Thank you very much. I'd just like for you to lift your voices and your hands up to God. Just tell Him thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Praises be to God. Praises be to God. All right. I got to tell you something else. Here's what we got to do, all right? While I was sitting there a while ago, whenever they was playing those great songs, I don't get a whole lot of stuff revealed to me, but I tell you what, I saw a couple of look like statues that were blocking their demon spirits, and they're going to be removed because we're going to tear them down in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. I think that it has to do with ancestral devils that's been here for a while. And we're going to attack them right now in Jesus' name. And we're going to thank God for the Holy Ghost. Because there's no power that can stop Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, God, we just come against these demon forces. And we ask God for the mercy of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for grace. I thank you for grace. In the name of Jesus, I bind the devil. You principalities, you powers, you ruling spirits, we stand against you with the name of Jesus. We stand against you by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the covenant of God. We stand against you by the word of the Lord. And we hate you, and we will not bow to you. We speak freedom. We receive freedom. Hallelujah. 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 I noticed, before y'all sit down, wait just a minute, please. I noticed that a couple of y'all have been in some of these services where I've been, and you've been really seeking out and touching, trying to get God to touch you and everything like that. I want to encourage you. I'm always aggressive whenever I'm in the prayer line. I seem mad. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the devil. Do you understand that? I don't want you to be offended. I really don't. I'm not here to offend you. I didn't come all these 9,000-10,000 miles down here to offend you. I come down here to attack the devil. If you come here to hear some fancy knucklehead from the States preach to you and be real cautious and calm and treat. Look, I'm after the devil. Do you understand that? I'm after the devil. And some of y'all have been oppressed long enough. Hallelujah. It's time to be free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Now then, I want to do one more thing. I want to just thank God for all the pain and suffering Jesus went through on that cross. And all the pain He endured from the cursings and the violation of His humanity. And all that, whenever every drop of blood dropped out of His body, He just kept on doing the will of God right to the end. I mean, he was hanging on that cross, almost dead. He looked down there and saw his mama, and he said to one of the apostles, "Now you take care of my mama." I mean, all the way to the end, he did what was right. And it was all the pain and all the suffering. It was so that you and I can be healed. It was so you and I can be delivered. It was so you and I can be set free from the powers of darkness. And I think we ought to receive some of it. I think we'll just get us some of it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, thank you, God. We appreciate you, Lord. And we thank you that the people that's not here, God, they need to come, that you'll bring them out tomorrow night. You hindering spirits, the Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name. And God, the ones that are here tonight that need to be born again, I ask you to touch their hearts and minds, God. Don't let them look around and think these people are fanatical idiots. We're none of us idiots. The idiot is the one that won't get born again. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord, and thank you. Hallelujah. Would you be seated and get your books, please? Better put this up here. Well, there's a couple of things I want to talk to y'all about. I'm really blessed because it seems like God's making some pretty good connections. I come over here absolutely not knowing what we was coming for. I didn't know anything about what was set up. All I knew that some people had called over there and asked me to come here. And so I wasn't coming. I was not coming here. I was going to New Zealand. And they just called me a couple of times and said, "Would you please come?" And I said, "All right, I guess I will." And it turns out that God's done a pretty good work so far. And we're over halfway through here now in y'all's country. And I believe God's going to keep doing something. There has been in the meetings where I've been that I know about, that I personally know about. I'm sure there's more than this. I'm positive of that. But there's been 109 new converts. That's good. That's good. Hallelujah. That's worth lots of money. If you was the one dying and going to hell, and you had a lot of money and thought you could pay your way out, I believe you might pay something, you know, try to get out. That's worth lots of money. I'm not asking for money. I never did ask you for any money, did I? You remember me asking you for any money? I ain't asking for money. But it's worth lots of money. The Bible says, "What would a man pay for his soul?" That's what the Bible says. And, you know, and there's been probably around 300 people that we've prayed for to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's been 4 people get out of wheelchairs. There's been these kind of miracles he was talking about there, like the lady with the skin problem and the eye problem and the baby right over here, somewhere over here in the green. He said she was green. And, you know, that kind of stuff should be natural. To the body of Christ, it should not be an abnormal thing. It should be the natural flow of God. You understand that? That should be natural. And sad to say, it's not. But I'll tell you, I'm here to rebuke the devil. I'm here to help you get free, where you can walk in liberty and laws of God, where the devil won't hold you bound, where you can be free to walk in the power of God. Because it's not just my power. It's not my power at all. It's God's power, and it's for everybody. It says right in my Bible, "Whosoever will." That's what my Bible says. It says it right in there, and I read it. Look at here. Turn it back over to Colossians. We're going to do a quick run over of what we did last night. Not very much of it. Just a little bit of it. I hadn't talked much about baptism. You know, baptism in water, that's necessary. You know, there was this lady we was praying for in one of our villages down there. It's a great big church. But there was this grandma in there that, because I don't know how many times I prayed for her, thanking God to heal her, first of all asking Him and then thanking Him. I'll tell you, it's one thing right after another one, But she just couldn't get healed. I was wondering about why, because I'd seen the disease she had. It's called elephantitis. Are y'all familiar with elephantitis? She had elephantitis, and I just couldn't figure out what in the world, why she couldn't get healed, because that was one of the diseases that we're almost 100% on, and she was swollen up all over. But she loved Jesus. I tell you, she kept, even though she was in much pain and discomfort, she kept coming to church. Just kept coming to church. And one day I told them, "Now we're going to have a conference, and I want all you Indians to come." So there were several thousand Indians there. And I told them, now in the morning, I'm going to spend the night out here with all y'all. And in the morning, we're going to go down here at the river, and we're going to baptize all the new converts and everybody. And so we started baptizing. I had, in the water, I had 10 national pastors in the water, and we baptized for an hour. That's how many there was. It was a blessing. I tell you what, I baptized so long I couldn't hardly pick my arm up no more. I mean, that's terrible, man. But it's great, you see, all the new converts. And this grandma comes walking down there, and the rocks on the edge of the river there, you see. And she was, boy, she was in pain going down in that water. And everybody was telling me, man, you know, isn't there a better way? I said, no, she's on the right road. She'll be all right. And they brought her, she walked on down in that water, and it got up there, because you see, the Indian people, they don't go in the river. They're afraid of the water. They sit on the edge and splash water on them and bathe, you understand? Or they'll wash their clothes in the edge. They don't have these washers and dryers like y'all got. They have to go down there and let the river be their washer and the sun be their dryer, you see? And so she was down there, and she walking in that water for the first time in her life. She went into water that was over her waist. For the first time, she was a fairly elderly lady. Y'all, I'm telling you, she swelled up all over with elephantitis, but she wanted to go down in there and get baptized. So we walked down in there, and I was really curious about her, so I walked down in there with her, and I was watching her, and I was telling her, you know, about Jesus and everything. I told her about the guy that one time was riding down the road, what's his name, in Acts chapter 8, eunuch? Ethiopian eunuch, yeah. He was riding down the road, he was reading the Bible, he didn't understand it, and here come walking along this man of God, and so he got up in the chariot with him, and explained baptism to him and Jesus to him, and said, here's water. What can stop us to be baptized? Just right now, after he became born again, got right out of the chariot, walked right in the water, got baptized. And then the Spirit of God floated. What was his name? Huh? Philip. Yeah. That's his name. Philip. Philip took a flight. You know, he didn't have to pay for it either. He flew by the Holy Ghost. Shoo! And so I was explaining all that to her. And she was down in there, and I said, are you sure you're saved? She said, I know I'm saved. I said, you sure you love Jesus? I know I love Jesus. I said, are you sure that you've given up all your witchcraft and all the demon idols, idolatry? She said, I have. I said, all right, then you have the right, according to the word of the living God, to be baptized. So the Indians grabbed hold of her, and they grabbed her by the hair of the head and jumped her in that water. And I'm going to tell y'all something. When that grandma come out of that water, we dropped her. All of us did. Because look, it wasn't the same lady that went in that water. I'm serious. That happened. I saw it with my own eyes. When she come out of that water, that disease, I don't know where it went. I don't know where it went. But it wasn't on her no more. And it wasn't on me no more. They might have floated down the river looking for somebody else. I don't know. But it wasn't on us. It was gone. She was healed. And guess what else happened to her? Come out of that thing speaking in tongues. Kashala bakatehe. Isn't that good? That's God. That's definitely God. Healed and filled with the Holy Ghost in one dip of the water. First time she'd ever been out that deep in her life. That's a spiritual significance if you're hearing me. Because the further you walk in the water with the Holy Ghost, the better the results. Ha! All right, now if you remember last night, some of y'all probably don't. But here in Colossians chapter 1, you know, things was declared to us in verse 8. And then we began to pray for you. And then the desire came into us. We was filled with knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Then we began to walk worthy and pleasing unto the Lord. Verse 10. And then verse 11 went on. We got strengthened with His might and His glorious power. I mean, things was happening to us last night. Whether y'all believe it or not, whether you saw it or not, if you was listening to Jesus, you was getting changed. You understand? Even though demons came and started messing around, that's all right. Let them come. That's what we're here for. That's why we're gathering together, so we can get people to come in here and so God can touch them in Jesus' name. All right? And the next thing you know, we got into that glorious power thing, and then all of a sudden we had to worry with patience and long-suffering, but we had to do that all with joyfulness. I mean, God was moving on us, whether you know it or not, last night. God was really working with us, and it was good. But you know, I got to tell y'all something here. I want y'all to turn with me over to John chapter 3, because this is all tied in, you see. John chapter 3, there's something I want you to see. In case I forget, I want you, I have this thought in my mind about this man that had these intestinal problems. I haven't talked much about that. I think I need to. And I think there's somebody here tonight that's got problems in the right side of their neck, and it's very painful. But I'm telling you right now, the Holy Ghost is going to heal you in Jesus' name. So you just go ahead and be healed. You know, if that's you, you just be healed. And if that's you, I do want to pray for you right after service, or right after preaching part here. Right there, I want you to look at John chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, y'all got it? Are y'all in John chapter 3 and 15? The Bible says, whoever, that's me, whoever, whosoever believes in Jesus, they're not going to perish, but they're going to have eternal life. So you got to understand something. Some of the reasons why I'm so radical and crazy and I'm so forceful against the devil is because I don't think the devil can kill me until Jesus is through with me. Now, I've been stoned, I've been beat, I've been shot, I've been pushed around, messed over, all kind of stuff happened to me, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not dead yet. I'm still alive, and I can still preach the gospel. I was telling them today about a situation down in South America where I got out in the desert and got down and almost died. Didn't have any water for 3 or 4 days, no food. And God sent me a miracle. Sent me an angel to take me out of there. Now, I might tell you all that. I might not. I don't know. But it says right here, whosoever believes in Jesus, they're not going to perish, but they're going to have everlasting life. Verse 16, one of the most famous verses in the world. It says, and I want you to get this. I don't want you just to be able to quote it. I want you to be able to understand it. Because we've got to walk in spiritual understanding and the knowledge of the will of God. Remember? Remember that? Here in verse 16 it says, for God. Who is that? Who's God? Somebody want to talk to me. Who is God? God is Father God. God is Jesus. God is the Savior. He's all of those things. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the blessed. He was. He is. And He will be. That's who God is. Now we're nothing more than a little piece of grass out here. We're up and we're gone. That's the end of it. But God's bigger than that. God's bigger than all of us. The Bible says just like this. God's foolishness is greater than the wisest part of mankind. God's weakness is stronger than anything men can afford. So I think He's bigger than we are. I think we ought to listen to Him when He's talking to us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. And what I want to get into you tonight, you got to get this. God's salvation is a world salvation. We have ourselves limited. You people live in a little sphere of your life and you don't even want to get out of it. Well, that's not God to be like that. You got to have a heart. You got to have a heart that's like God's heart. It's a world vision heart. You got to have a heart that's filled with His knowledge and His spiritual understanding. And even though your problems, He will fix them. He's fixing them not so you can make more money and get fatter and more lazy. He's fixing it so that you can do more for the kingdom of God and bring Jesus back here so we can get out of here. I'm serious. I know people that have stacks and stacks of CDs worth thousands of dollars, and they won't. Well, then I know what a CD is here. I guess they do. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You see, He didn't. Even though it's all right with God for you to be prosperous and be all those things, He didn't give you the Holy Ghost just so you can make more and more money and be more and more rich and flaunt yourself on your own lust. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. The spiritual understanding of God, the knowledge of God's will, it has a purpose. It has a divine purpose. It has a divine destiny, and it's on everybody that's born again. And we've got to learn how, somehow, to walk in it. God loves the world. He loves you people here. Can't you tell? He sent me to talk to you. God loves the world. You got to get God's heart. It's a world heart. And when you get God's heart, when you get God's knowledge, when you get God's will, when you get God's understanding, things begin to happen for you. And they're automatic. As long as you're flowing with God, things begin to happen to you automatically. I'm serious. God's blessings overtake me automatically. God's power touches me automatically. Because I spend time looking for God. I spend hours every day asking Him, "Hello, where are you? I love you. Hallelujah. I'm right here. Where are you, Father God?" He comes and touches me with all sorts of stuff. See, it says right here in the Bible, it says, whoever believes in Jesus, they're not going to perish. I can't help it. I just can't help it. I got to tell you that Jesus loves you. I got to tell you that. He loves you a bunch. You're not going to die. Did you hear me? See, most people take that to say, good, I'll go out here and buy me a big ranch. I'll set up me a big kingdom out here, and I'll start heaping things to myself. That's not what I said for you to do. I said you're not going to die. That clay house you're living in is going to fall down one of these days, and that thing's going to quit moving, but the you that lives inside there is going to keep going on with God. Now listen to me. The real you in there has the right to receive the judgment of God, and the judgment of God can heal you, or the judgment of God or save you and bring you into heaven, or the judgment of God can put you in hell. It's your choice. That's how come I've got a job. You see, because I have to bring people to a choice. People get mad, they leave. Good. Goodbye. Have a nice time in hell. Well, Brother Hogan, I don't like that attitude. Well, you ain't going to like the rest of them either. I'll tell you that right now. Listen, this thing is serious. You can't live a choked up, a carnal life and expect people around you to get born again. Did you hear me, church? We got to be serious about what we're doing with God. And He'll let us, because His heart gets in us, a worldwide heart. His knowledge and His spiritual understanding begins to take over in us, and we will begin to walk in the Holy Ghost. We will begin to walk and see and do things. Other people, most of them don't even believe it, but the ones that do only dream about it. They only dream about it. See, this salvation that comes along here out of John chapter 3 and these few verses here that we've been talking about, I mean, it's for your defense. Do you understand? It's for your salvation of your stinking hide out of hell. It's for your healing. It's for your deliverance. And it's from God Almighty. And we have the right to receive it from God. We have the right. Look over here with me into, Psalms. Let's go to Psalms for a minute. Let me look at it. Yeah. 91, that's right. I think I got that wrote down somewhere over here. Ha! There it is anyway. Psalms 91. I want my deliverer. I want my defender. I want my savior. I want my healer. Do you understand that? Are y'all hearing me? Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He's our savior. He's our defender. And when people come after us to hurt us and to do us wrong and to make fun of us and all sorts of things like that, I want you to understand we have to throw ourselves on God's mercy and Jesus' mercy and grace, and God will heal us. You understand? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Bible says here in Psalms chapter 91 and verse 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall dwell. I'm going to tell you right now, I think it's only right for me to warn you that I believe that we have to dwell with God to receive from God. All right? But see, I also have a job. I have to warn you that it's all right with God if I go out into a situation and there are people that don't understand God and they've never heard about God. So I go out there because I dwell with Him. I love Him. I know Him. I've got His heart. I've got His mindset. I've got His knowledge in me. I've got His spiritual understanding in me. Now I have the right to go out there because I'm an heir and a joint heir of the Lord Jesus, I have the right to go out there against the devil and see God move in people that may not know God. Did you hear me? In Jesus' name. It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's how come I got caught by terrorists a couple of times over there in Central America, and they beat the tar out of you. I want you to know that. But that's all right. They can't hurt you as long as God's with you. Now, blood falling out of you on the ground, you might consider that to be hurt. I don't. I consider it hurt when I can't talk no more. When I can't tell them they need to repent. When I can't tell them you bunch of women raping, baby killing devils, the Lord rebuke you. Now, whenever I can't tell them that, I'm in trouble. And no matter how much blood's leaking out of you, it matters how much you've got the right to tell them to repent, because they're going to hell. Okay? Are y'all with me or not? All right. Because the Bible says, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, and he is. Say that with me. He is my refuge. There's something else I want you to say. He is my fortress. Say this with me. He is my God. And in the Lord Jesus, say it, will I trust? Now see how you do that? That's how you pray the Bible. It's real easy. Lots of times people tell me, I don't know how to pray. Other ones say, how do you pray? Real easy. You get you a verse of Scripture, and you relate it, if it relates to what you're into, what your problems are, and you just begin to pray it, and you begin to remind God of His Word, because whatever He spoke, He will do. Whatever He said, He'll bring it to pass. The Word of God will not come back void. It will produce fruit because God said for it to. And so I believe it. What do you think of that? I want you to do this with me. In verse 3, say this. Everybody, read it out loud. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse 4, let's read that out loud also. It says, God shall cover me with his feathers, and under his great powerful wings I will trust. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler, or my armor, my protection. I have the right to be protected. As long as I'm submitted to the Holy Ghost, I have the right, and so do you. What I got to get you to understand is, though, that we've got to have His mind, which is the mind of Christ. We've got to have His will, the knowledge of His will. We've got to have His spiritual understanding. We've got to walk in His wisdom. We've got to walk in His glorious power. We've got to be strengthened with His might. It's not in you. It's in Him. You understand? See, there's this... See, lots of times I don't have money. But nobody ever knows it if I do or if I don't. Because I act the same if I got $1,000 in my pocket or if I got 2 nickels in my pocket. It doesn't make any difference. It has nothing to do with my well-being with God. Did you hear me? See, most of y'all are happy if you got $1,000 in your pocket, but if you got 2 nickels, you're sad and depressed. That's the devil. You got to throw that off. You got to be the same with God, regardless of what's going on in your life. Did you hear me? You got to be the same. One day, me and my wife, bless her heart, she's running around with a nut like me, and so we was riding down the road, and I was going to preach. I didn't have any money. I didn't have enough gas to get there. I didn't have enough. There was not enough, I guess y'all call it petrol over here. There wasn't enough of it in the gas tank to get me where I was going. So I said to her, I said, we'll take a shortcut. That way we might have enough to get there. Because I had to preach at 7 o'clock. I absolutely couldn't run out of gas because it would make me late. Well, over there in the south where I grew up, there's lots of produce. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of acres of cotton fields and soybean fields and corn fields. And boy, I was just running through them corn fields. Shoom, shoom, shoom. Got out of them corn fields and broke off into a cotton field. Oh, wah! Run out of gas. Why What a knucklehead. If I'd have stayed on that main highway out there, at least somebody would have come along and got me some gas. Man, I mean anger, doubt, unbelief, all of the things that comes along when you're stranded out in the middle of nowhere and there ain't nobody going to run down this road for 1,500 years. I mean, you're in trouble. So I was out there kicking the dirt. My wife said, "Get up on the car. Your gas is coming. Or your petrol." I said, "Do you know where we are, woman? Hush up talking to me. I'm mad. Let me be mad." She said, "I tell you to get up on that car because your gas is coming down the road." So I stood up on the car, went high as I could, and I looked over the top of them cotton field out there and over the top of that cornfield, and there was dust boiling up. I said, "Something's coming." She said, "It's your gas. I told you it was your gas." So listen to this. This really happened. Really. I jumped down off that thing. Here comes a truck. So I stuck out my thumb. "Don't you pass me by, I'll shoot you." He ain't said a word to me. He just got out of the back of that truck. He walked over there in that truck, picked up a 5-gallon bucket, said, "Come on, boy, I got some gas." Brought it over there. And look, he didn't know I was out of gas. He poured that gas down, the gasoline down in that tank of that thing, went around yonder, raised that hood, put some down the carburetor, said, "Crank it off and get out of here. See you later." Went and put the can down in the back of the truck, and he's gone. And I'm going, I fired it up, went to church. I was 20 minutes late. Boy, I felt bad. I don't go anywhere late. I don't like it. I like to be on time because if you tell somebody you're going to be there and you're not there, you're lying. Boy, I don't like that. Woo! There was one thing wrong. They wasn't starting at 7. They were starting at 7:30. I was 10 minutes early. Woo! Come on, Jesus. Isn't that good? Does that make you feel good? See, God's with us. God's with us. We got to walk in His mind. We got to walk in His authority. We got to walk in His power, regardless of circumstances around us. Okay? Because I'm telling you, if you know how to walk in the knowledge of the will of God, you can submit to God, and He's going to be with you. God's going to be with you. Okay, church? God's going to be with you. The Bible says right here in verse 5, what does it say? "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies in the daytime." Verse 6, "Nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction of the destroyer that wastes at noonday." Now look at verse 7. Now this is going on literally in the church world today. Thousands of people are backsliding and falling out. That's not God. Don't do that. A lot of people are mad. They say, "Well, this faith thing with God don't work." Yes, it does. The problem's not with God. It's with the people trying to use the faith. We've got to learn how to be patient, long-suffering, remember? We've got to learn how to wait on God and get His spiritual understanding about us and walk in His ways and take on His attributes and do the things He wants to do. Okay? It says right here, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come nigh to you. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. And here's why. Here it is, verse 9. I want to share this with you. Ready? It says, because thou hast made the Lord. That's you and me. That's you and I. We have made God. All right? We have made God a place of refuge. We have made God a place of refuge. I can't tell you what it's like when I go out to a village and I'm out there and my wife is home praying for me and I'm there and this lady, I've never seen anything like this. I'm telling you, this is the weirdest, strangest thing that you want to see, all right? This lady had something called acute spinal meningitis. Has anybody ever heard of that? Yeah, some of y'all have. That's a pretty rough thing to have. You don't want that in your life, all right? It's from the devil. It is a devil. And that lady was laying on that cot over there. She was laying on that cot over there and just laying there. And she, her neck and head was rolled back on her head. Her arms and legs were rolled backwards around her body. I can't do it like that. Her arms were twisted backwards. Her legs were rolled up backwards. It was amazing. It was amazing. But one thing I want to tell you is this right here. When I laid hands on her, God healed her instantly. Thank you, Jesus. But I got to tell you this. Listen to this right here. It says, only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. I went home that night. I was so happy. I had never seen a miracle like that before, where somebody's bones was all twisted around like looked like a bunch of pretzels or something. You have pretzels over here? All right. I don't drink beer. And so, but I do eat pretzels. And so, these arms and legs was all wrapped up like a bunch of pretzels. And I'll tell you right now, it just opened up and came back. And I said, my, what a God. So I went and got in my truck, went home. I was so excited. I was happy. I wanted to tell my wife. As soon as I walked in the door at my house, that demon spirit that we had prayed for and asked God to heal off that lady, that thing hit my wife, and she come down with acute spinal meningitis when I walked in the door. Now, that's not fun there. My wife, you know, she's out there at the house. She's being a blessing. She's doing spiritual warfare. She's praying. She's being a good lady. She's being faithful and everything. And all of a sudden, here we go. Boom. She gets popped. And that thing hit her. I'm telling y'all, listen to me. I started praying for my wife. I prayed for 10 hours straight. Never got to go to bed. It was the most amazing thing to watch her bones twist. They can't do that. They break. But those bones twisted all up. It was in her neck twisted all back on it. Just like that lady out that village. She was burning up with fever. Almost, I'm telling you, she was burning up. High fever. It was way up there, around 104, 105 degrees. It was. I don't know what that is in centigrade, but she was. It was hot. I mean, it was hot. I was bathing her down. And I'll tell you what, I went off out yonder and went to church anyway. She begged me not to. And when I come home, I walked in there, and that lady was healed. You understand? Them devils don't have the right. But you might behold them, and they might be there taunting you and messing with you. But I'll tell you what, only with your eyes you're going to see the reward of the wicked. The devil don't have the right. You got to not give up. You got to learn how to stay under that shadow, that Almighty God. Don't let some big buzzard or something run you out there and let him eat you up. You stay in the mind of God. You stay in the will of God. You stay in the knowledge of God. And you let Jesus heal your body. Do you understand? You let Jesus heal your spirit. You let Jesus heal your mind. Do you understand me? You let Jesus heal your marriage. You let Jesus heal the reputation with your kids. You let Jesus heal you and your husband's relationship. You let Jesus heal you and your finances in the name of Jesus. It takes patience and long suffering and trusting in God Almighty. That's what it takes. And you got to understand something. That the promises of God are yes and amen. But you got to learn how to wait on God. And not be antsy and mean at God when it don't happen when you want it to. You just sit down and be quiet and be a good sheep and sit down there and enjoy yourself, because God's going to groom you and bless you and put the oil of the Holy Ghost on you. Okay? See, God's our healer. God's our Savior. God's our defender. God's our deliverer. Do you understand that? Are y'all hearing this? Turn with me to Psalms chapter 84, please. Well, that's awful nice of you, sir. Thanks a lot. Hallelujah. That's pretty nice. Psalms chapter 84. Y'all there yet? I'm there. I want to tell you about that man. There was this man over the place where they make candles down there in Mexico. And this guy here, they sent me a letter, a note saying the man was sick. And it was only another day before I went to was supposed to go out there and have church. So I decided to wait and go out there, because it was several hours out in my truck and in some hiking. So I decided to wait till the next day, and I'd go out early, and I'd go out to that village, and I'd hike and pray for that guy and come back. Well, the man's intestines came out his rectum, and I want you to know something, they fell out on the ground. Now, this is a strange thing. This guy had a problem, and there was no way to get it healed. The doctors have to cut it all up and make everything new and everything. But man, this guy didn't have any money. I mean, he was sick. The pain, I can't tell you about the pain. I've seen a lot of different things. But this man is one of the most painful things that I've ever seen was when his intestines were outside of his body. I mean, it was terrible. He was sick. I mean, his body was dysfunctioning. It was amazing. It was amazing. I felt sorry for him, Brother Steve. But there wasn't nothing I could do. I could do nothing. Outside of Jesus, there's nothing you can do. But inside of Jesus, there's a lot you can do. You can have faith. You can stay in the shadow of the Almighty God. You can walk in the knowledge of His will. You can walk in spiritual understanding. You can walk in the strength of His glorious might. You can walk with Jesus. Do you understand now? Are y'all starting to get this or not? You can do it. Because people are counting on you to do it. And boy, when we got there, I mean, pain was severe. I mean, his people was there. I walked in there, and I said, "My goodness, man, what's wrong with you?" And they showed me this mess. I said, "My Lord, God, I've never seen anything like that in my life." I mean, he was swollen up. I mean, it was horrendous. I'm serious. Is that a word here, horrendous? That means he was in trouble. But see, there's something I've got to share with you here in Psalms 84 and verse 1. It says, "How amiable are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." See, there's something that you've got to do. You've got to get out there and become a greater... You've got to start maturing in the Lord, saints. You've got to start understanding what it's like to walk and help other people. Not just your own little self. And you're us four no more. You've got to get out. You've got to look at God's heart. It's to help the world. And there's people out there that you personally, God will put them across your path, and you'll in your lifestyle, God will put them in your way to where you can help them, you can touch them, and God will heal them and bless them because you sought the Lord. All right? I love to pray for the sick people because I know I can help them. If I can just get this big old hand on them, they're going to be different in the name of Jesus. I mean, they're going to be different. And it's not because I'm special. It's because God's special in me. It's because the mind of Christ, it dwells richly in me, like the Bible says. Because God's knowledge of God's will, it abides in me. God's heart, His vision for the world, the salvation of the world. He's the defender of them. He's the savior of them. He's the healer of them. He's the deliverer of them. We gotta get His mind. We gotta get His authority in us and walk in it. And we gotta stay under the shadow of the Almighty. We gotta stay under His overcoat. And we gotta walk where He walks. And we gotta let Him protect us. And we gotta let Him be our defender. He's our fortress. He's our buckler. He's our shield of deliverance. Hallelujah. Because see, look here. Look at verse 2. It says, "My soul longs." Now, I haven't met a whole lot of Christians that can truly, truly tell me that they long for the courts of God. Most of them want God for lots of reasons. Oh yeah, be saved out of hell. Thank God for that. But I want money. I want power. I want a new job. I want new clothes. I want a new car. I want a new house. Thank you, God. Give it up. Well, I got news for you. You got a long ways to go before you get that one, boy. Son, you gotta mature. You gotta start understanding God's looking for people to walk in His mind and His authority to help other people. And when you begin to help other people unselfishly and give up your rights and give up what you think is yours and do it for Jesus, God will automatically overtake you with blessings. It'll happen. And you don't have to struggle. You can rest. Do you ever read the Bible over in Hebrews? Where it says there's a rest for the people of God. I think I'll go into that. I think I'll be restful. I don't think I'll fret. I don't think I'll let y'all's faces of astonishment intimidate me one bit. I think I'll just keep on where I'm going because I think I'm after the devil. How do you like that? Thank you, Jesus. See, we've got to learn how to long for the courts of the Lord. And I'm telling you, this flesh don't like to do it. It's a job to get up every morning early and seek the Lord. It's a job to discipline yourself to sit down and take that Bible and read it and begin to understand God. It's a job. I'm telling you, it's easy to sit in front of that old stupid boob tube and work this muscle out right here, changing channels. Do, 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 do. Anybody can do that. But who can stand against the devil and call him a liar? Who longs for the courts of God? I do. Oh, yes. Woo! I do. I do. Pastors asked me today. I was over in a pastor's meeting. They said to me, have you talked to your wife since you've been here? I said, no. I had a business call once, but I hadn't talked to her to tell her I love her yet. And they said, what's wrong with you? Here, use our phone. I said, no. I'm longing for the courts of the Lord right now. I've got something else. I've got a meeting tonight. I'm not going to worry myself with that stuff. I'm going to worry myself with Jesus. What's wrong with you? You don't love your wife? Ha! You touch her and find out. I love that lady. I'm willing to die for her. I mean, that's fine. You understand? But there's times when God's called. You gotta be willing to lay down a few rights so that other people can be blessed and healed and saved and delivered. Do you hear me? I want you to hear me, what I'm trying to tell you, because it's really God for you. It'll change you if you'll grab a little bit of it. It'll change you. Make you powerful in God, if you'll hear me. I'm not telling everybody to leave their wives and husbands for a while and all that. That's not what I'm saying. If you heard that, you heard wrong. See? My heart... See, there's no doubt in here that your hearts are after God, because this here... What night of the week is this? Friday night? That's right, I really don't know. You know what else? I don't care as long as I'm on time here, so these men here don't have to put up with me not being here. It just matters at your own time as you preach the gospel and do what God said. You know, your heart, your people's heart are really after God. There's no doubt about it. But there's another part of that that you got to understand. Your flesh needs to be seeking after God also. Did you hear me? It says, because see, the flesh wants to go one way and the spirit another. That'll never do. The flesh is stronger than the spirit. Now, whenever the Spirit of God's on a person, and they make their flesh submit, then that flesh has to submit. But ordinarily, the flesh is stronger than a person's spirit. I can tell you that because I know most of you are looking at me like I have some kind of special gold prize in my pocket I'm going to give you in a minute. When all it is, I'm just going to tell you to seek God. It's just seek Jesus, and you'll come up with the same prize I've got. Year after year after year of diligently being there and calling on God and calling on God and getting my flesh. And yeah, I have to submit this old flesh. This old boy wants to stay in bed. This old boy wants to eat a lot. This old boy wants to get out to hunter and do things that's not right. But I'll tell you right now, it don't have the leeway to do that. It's got to shut up and line up and get with my heart and get with God Almighty in the courts of God. You understand? People say to me all the time, what makes you so different? Nothing. All I do is have things in a row. That's all. But I'm not any different than anybody else. I've taken the time and the diligence necessary to seek after God, to seek after His heart, which is the world, and to seek after His mind, which is the knowledge and will of Jesus Christ, and seek after His power, which is His glorious strength. Is this making any kind of sense at all, or am I confusing you? I don't want to confuse you at all. Because then I'll tell you what, whenever you lay hands on somebody who has a yard of intestines stuck out there, and I mean you lay hands on them in the name of Jesus, and you ask God for the power of the Holy Ghost, I have no idea what to even tell the man. I don't know what to tell him. I've never seen anything like it in my life. All I told him was, Jesus' name, God's going to fix it. I didn't lie to him either. Because the very next service, he was at it, which was the next day. And watch this. Had to walk for 4 hours to get there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God. I want to do that right now. Y'all just stay seated. But let's just lift our voices and our hands up to God. And let's just tell Him thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. God, we cry out to you. We line up our hearts. We line up our flesh. God, we long to have your heart, God. We long to have your heart, God, which is the heart of souls, which is the heart of deliverance, which is the heart of salvation, which is the heart of healing. In the name of Jesus, give us your heart. Give us your deliverance, God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we need your mercy and grace. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, we need your help, God. Please, Lord, we ask you for mercy. We ask you that, God, we line up our heart. We line up our flesh. Oh, God, we cry out to you in the courts of God. And we ask you to touch us tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. All right, look at verse 3, please. You see, there was a time in Mexico, whatever, these warlocks really come after us. They're black magic warlocks, and they hate us, and I'm glad they hate me. I'm glad I'm not one of them. I'm glad I'm not a compromised Christian that they don't have to fear. They have to fear me. When I walk, they're mad at me because the devil hates me because I hate him. That's the way it is. We hate each other. And I'm glad. I'm really glad. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to hate the devil. It's a blessing to have the devil hate you. Did y'all know that? Did y'all know that? There's only one problem with that. In a minute, they're going to come after you and try to shut you down. See, that's what slows down most Christians is the fight of faith. Most of y'all believe that once you really get the power of God, you live in a realm where the devil ain't got any rights to touch you. You're special and can't nobody have nothing to do with you. Well, that's foolish and absurd. We're in a fight. And it's the fight of faith. And you have to realize that devil's out there. He's going to try to do his best to stop you. But you've got the legal right to shut him down. In the name of Jesus. When our heart and our flesh is lined up with God. Because you see, one of my pastors one night, oh, this is going to mess with some of y'all's theology, but I got to tell you. I just have to tell you. But some of y'all's theology is going to really get bristled about this, but that's all right. There was this pastor, and he was a real good friend of mine. And I mean, we've been out and had some good miracles and stuff. Well, one night he was laying, just fixed to go to bed. He was knelt down on the floor with his wife on his little dirt floor there. He's an Indian. And he was calling out to God. Oh, that Basa, Almighty God, have mercy. Thank you for those souls today. Thank you for letting us pray for those sick people. Thank you for healing. And he was just praising God and thanking Him for the work that was done. Thanking Him for a good job. Oh, God, thank you. Oh, God. And all of a sudden, I mean, this spooky, that's just spooky, boy. And this thing come in the room, shoo, right through the walls. You ready for this? I don't think so. And it was a blue fog or mist. And it come, got over him. He couldn't get away from it. It got around him. Whoosh! Pulled his spirit out of his body. His body falls down on the floor and quits functioning. How about that one? Takes him through the air. Now this is a demon spirit that's been loose from hell to come and kill him. All right? This really happened. This was not a dream nor a vision. His wife and family were sitting there and saw it. They instantly fell on the body that was laying there. It wasn't the heart, he was gone. His body was laying there without, it was just a corpse. There was no spirit in it. And they began to pray and ask God for the Holy Ghost. Help me, God. Help me, God. You know, and his wife, she's a really nice lady, you know, and I love her a lot. And they was praying, help, 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 but no good. He was gone. They had a party. And when he got over there, where he was standing there, and these demon spirits were all around talking. Demon spirits were. And these 50 black magic warlocks had put all this, they had done some human sacrifices and such to get all these demon spirits' power moving once against this minister, against us. And he was standing there, and they were praying, Señor de las tinieblas, destruyelo ahora mismo, which means Lord of the darkness, destroy him. Destroy him now. Did y'all hear me? Who's the Lord of the darkness? The devil. They were praying to their Lord and Master. And they had conjured up all this power. And they had sent over there. And they drug him over there. And he's looking around. And he told me, he said, it was really very fruitful, Brother Hogan. He said, because I only knew about 15 or 20 of those guys. But when I was standing there, I knew them all now. See, it depends on how you view things, you know. A lot of people say, some other people are looking around how they can fight these things. And here's what he said. You ready? Boy, this is profound. I can't wait to tell you. You know what he said? Jesus. That's all he said. And when he spoke the name of Jesus, all the demon spirits began to scream and holler and shrink back from him. Jesus came out of his mouth again. Jesus came out of his mouth again. And the hordes of hell began to retreat. And right back through the air, right back into his body, raised from the dead. Wow. 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 But you see, even though the powers of darkness came, even though his family saw the bad thing happen, and even though all of that, you know, I'll tell you right now, what saved us was our continual prayer and seeking God and seeking after the courts of the Lord and having our flesh and our soul longing after God on a continual basis. That saved that man. That spared him. Because of the name of Jesus. Isn't that something? Y'all got a little quiet on me now. That's okay. Because it really happened. Psalms 84, verse 4. There's a couple of things here I want to share. And we're going to read one more verse, after, another place after this in Acts 28. But after that, we're going to shut it down. Because I forgot to look to see what time it was when I started again. So I can't really get, you know, I can't really say as to exactly how long I've been preaching. I forgot again. So here in Psalms 84 and verse 4 says, "Blessed are they that dwell in your house." See, the idea continually all through the Bible is woven in there. The idea of continuing in the house of God. Staying in the house of God. Don't let economies, friendships, hatreds, prosperity, materialism, anything that comes along the road, don't let it take you away from the courts of the living God. Do you understand? It says, "Blessed are they that dwell in your house. They'll still be praising you." Selah. Verse 5. "Blessed is the man." All right, now here we're getting to rolling on this thing. What is the man? What is he? Blessed. Who is the man that's blessed? The man that's blessed is who finds the strength of the Lord. All right? See, I'm an individual. I'm a very independent fellow. But I know how to walk around with other men of God and relate to other men of God and not be an independent separatist, a sectarian devil, you know. I know how to relate. But I'm very independent. With Jesus, I have the power to walk with the gospel. At the same time, I'm not weak. I don't have to constantly be at somebody's counseling session. I don't ever remember going to one. I remember going to Jesus. Psychology is not your answer. Jesus is your answer. Finding the strength of God is your answer. Okay? The Bible says right here, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, God, in whose heart are the ways of them." Now, "who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also fills the pools." You know, if you just read past that, you wouldn't know what the valley of Baca was. How many of y'all have that translated in your Bible? The valley of Baca. 1, 2, 3, 4. See, 4, 5, 6 of y'all have it translated. What does every one of y'all's that translation say? It's the valley of weeping. It's the valley of sorrow. But the thing is, it says that you got to understand, it's the blessed man who is actually walking through that valley of sorrow. And you got to realize that, church, it doesn't exempt you from the valley of Baca because you found the strength of God. That's where you use it. And because you have the strength of God, because you have the fortitude and the ability to keep seeking God, to keep seeking God, to keep seeking God, to keep seeking God, because you did, when you got into the valley of Becca or the dry time or the desert or the weeping or the sorrowful time, then God will turn it in the middle of that sorrow. He'll turn it into a spring. But you have to believe Him and not leave Him. You and I both have got to walk in that strength. There's power in what I'm telling you if you'll just listen to me. There's power in it. There's refreshing. There's Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Instead of looking at a problem, oh my God, because some of y'all share your problems with me when I pray for you, you know, and I feel sorry for you, I really do. I don't like it, but I don't even act like I even hear you, do I? I just say, come out, devil, I rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. Amen. In the middle of the valley of Becca is where we've got to stand strong and be firm and realize that Jesus is not abandoning us. He don't hate us, He loves us. More than likely, you brought the valley of Becca on yourself. Most people do. It says right here in verse 8, O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Oh, that's in that valley. That's where He's turning into a valley. You ask Him, oh God, I've been out here seeking You so long. I am absolutely tired, God. But you know what? Hear my prayer. Didn't I tell you about my wife that was crippled from the waist down, from the chest down? And how we went for weeks like that. I mean, she drug herself around like an animal. I felt so sorry for her. The pain was excruciating. She had all these broke things in her back. And I mean, it was a mess. And then that one morning, I was just holding her. I'd been praying almost all night. And I said, God, please hear my prayer. Heal her. Boom. She was healed. Right in the middle of the valley of Becca, turns into a spring of water for us. Have y'all heard how many stories I've told y'all about the horrendous attacks that come on my family? I've been telling y'all some of them. You need to hear that. But it doesn't daunt me one bit. I'm still up here telling you, Jesus is King and Lord. The devil's going to back up and shut up. It says right here in verse 9, I think that's where we are, isn't it? I want you to look at verse 9. It says, behold, O God, what is He? Our shield. And look upon the face of Your anointed. Now, that's not pride talking there. That's just the way it is. I am the anointed of God. And when I walk every now and then, and I get out here in the valley of Becca, and all these problems come against me, I'm not going to get down here on my face and cry and weep and moan and complain and tell God, how'd that happen, God? I thought I was Your anointed. What I'm going to do is look up at Him and say, God, look, it's me again. And I ask You to shine Your face on Your anointed, God. I ask You to recognize and understand that I'm not going to murmur and complain. I'm not going to charge You foolishly. I'm going to submit to the Holy Ghost. I'm going to let the strength of God flow through me. And I'm going to allow the name of Jesus to be glorified. In Jesus' name. See, look. I'm going to tell you this story. Finish this. Go to Acts 28. Yeah. Okay? If I can't convince you by now, I probably won't. But I'll be back tomorrow to try again in case I don't. In Jesus' name, I will. See, there was this, there's this pastor that's a good friend of mine that works with me in Mexico. I raised him up. I've been working with him for raising him up. Y'all know what raising him up means? That means he was a convert. I led him to Jesus. And over the process of time and putting God into him and talking the Bible to him and the gospel to him, he began to get stronger, stronger, stronger to where he began to stand on his own. Next thing you know, he's casting out devils. Next thing you know, he's leading the work. Next thing you know, he's one of my main leaders. And I've been working with him ever since I've been down there. And he's a very powerful man in God. We're good friends. And in one of his churches, there's this black magic warlock that's very mad at us. So he went to the black magic warlock and he explained the gospel to him. Well, that man got up into a fit, got mad. I mean, he went crazy. He run off. Shoo! Out in the woods. Gone. Shoo! But the man's wife was still sitting there. And she began to ask questions about this gospel. And she said, that's what I want. He's wrong. I want Jesus. Well, that's not a very healthy atmosphere. your husband's a black magic warlock and you born again. Now, that's not a very healthy atmosphere. Especially when your husband's a hostile black magic warlock. Well, he come back to find his wife born again. He went ballistic. I mean, he did. You know what he did? He went out yonder and conjured up some devils. In other words, he went and prayed fast and made a deal with them and sent a sickness on his wife who was born again. His own wife. But see, that's the way devils are. Do you understand? It's the way devils are. They're just that way. Devils are devils, okay? And don't act like they're not devils. Devils are devils. They're not going to be right. They're devils. Do you understand that yet? And you say, yeah, but man, that's his wife. Devils are devils. Yeah, but devils are devils. What? Devils are devils. Now it's the last time I'm telling y'all. Get that. So anyway, she got sick, and so he blamed the sickness on the Christians. So they came over. Oh, here's the Christians over in this black magic warlock's house. That's not a very healthy situation. They're in there, and they're laying hands on, oh, Jesus, oh, God, have mercy. Oh, God, help, 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 Jesus, help. Well, there was no help. Okay? She died. I mean, this is not healthy. This does not make very much sense. You got a woman there that loves Jesus that was healthy. She got born again, then she got sick and died. Her husband, we found out now, was the one that threw the spirit on her through the power of the devil, and she actually died. Man, what a love, huh? No, you missed it. Devils are devils. Now he has legal right, according to their way of thinking, to go after these Christians with heavyweight hostilities. So what he did, he went and gathered up a bunch of his friends. And those Christians are there asking God to raise him from the dead. No go. They had to do what's called tendida. It's they prepared her for burial. They wash her up, her body, and put her in these burial clothes and everything. So now then, the husband, he's getting all drunk up and drinking up on that wine and that old moonshine and whiskey. And he's getting drunk. He's feeding all of his friends. Because after the burial service, they're going to kill them all. They're going to kill the Christians. Well, it's not a healthy situation. All right. So these Christians are walking behind the procession. The procession has these demons. I mean, literally, they're warlocks. And they're all toting this lady, right? They're carrying her in a little box out to the graveyard. And they're walking along. And every man there hooping and hollering. They go, and them Christians, you come along behind them praying in tongues. Here they come. I mean, does that make sense to your mind at all? This has been an unhealthy situation all the way. But you got to remember one thing, right? What is it? I'm blessed. You're starting to get it. Devils are devils. Don't expect them to be anything else. Here's something else you can expect too. God is in control. Here's something else you need to understand. Jesus is Lord. And ain't no devil, even though he's a devil, got the power to make Jesus do anything but what Jesus wants to do. So then, this is getting interesting. Here they all go down through there. Powers of darkness and the powers of light. They all walking together. And they tote this lady to the graveyard. Dead in a hammer. But let me tell you also. Something good happened. All right? Because here are these seven or eight warlocks toting this woman, and they chanting spells on the Christians. Here are the Christians come along behind. Jesus' name. Kalabasha. Helebelebe. Kalabahashe. Right? And so here goes these warlocks. And they chanting. Whatever they do, I ain't going to try to act like them. And all of a sudden, that woman knocks the lid off the box. raises up, raised from the dead. Hallelujah. See, and y'all thought all along them devils, it's devils is going to win, didn't you? No. Ha. Devil's a liar, and I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Well, there's something really funny happens. When that woman stood up, raised up in that coffin, knocked the lid off, started talking, them warlocks that run there, they split and let, bam, she fell on the ground. And then guess what happened? Her husband's standing there looking at her. He gets on his knees. He said, Jesus is Lord. Yeah! Yes! Yes! Hallelujah! Jesus is Lord. Wow. Pretty nice, huh? When am I going to write a book? Got one written. I don't need to write a book. Okay, where was we at? I forgot. Did we go to Acts already? We didn't. What verse are we in? Yeah, we read 9, didn't we? Let's read verse 10. After the things I've seen of God, I would really much rather be a doorkeeper in God's kingdom than anything else. I've seen too much of God. I know He's got the greatest power. Do y'all hear me? The Bible says, for a day in the courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. There's a reason for it, because God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and He gives glory. There's nothing good that He'll withhold from who? Those who walk uprightly. Well, I walk uprightly. I walk in the power of God. I submit to the name of Jesus. I submit to the heart of God. I submit to the ways of God, the knowledge of God. I submit to the spiritual understanding of the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 28. So I have the right. Church, I have the right to walk in the salvation of God. And the devil ain't stopping it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord. And I want to just confess something to you tonight. I'm going to read it to you. It's a confession to you. Be it known unto you. Verse 28. You're going to be without excuse now. Be it known unto you. The salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, that's you and I, and that they will hear it. Now, you people can be religious. You can be caught up in all kinds of little fads and doctrinal quirks. But I got some news for you. God's bigger than any of you. God's bigger than me. God's bigger than devils, it's devils. God's bigger than warlocks. God's bigger than any nation. And we got to realize that God has a heart and that salvation will be preached. And I got some news for you. If you'll preach it, it will be heard. What we got to understand is that salvation really real? If it is, am I really supposed to be one of the ones to carry it? You know, you may not ever go to the countries I go to. As a matter of fact, I know you won't. I've never seen you there. But some of you might get around to some different countries and different parts of your own nation. Some of you may not ever get out of your own neighborhood. But you got to realize, and you got to realize this. There's no room for condemnation, even though you never leave your neighborhood. That's all right. Be a light there. Walk in victory there. Be stable there. Walk in the knowledge of God's will there. Walk in the strength of His might there. Don't you let a devil talk you out of it. Be blessed. and filled with the Holy Ghost there because of the glory of God. Do you hear me? Do you hear me, church? Would you please stand up with me in Jesus' name? I'm beginning to make a little headway on this stuff. I hope it's making some headway into y'all's spirits as well. Just lift your voices up to God, would you please, in Jesus' name. And I want you to just talk to God a minute. And I want you to tell Him, God, I might have been being a little too tense with You. I think I'm going to relax a little bit. I think I'm going to let God be God. And I think I'm going to be a good sheep. I think I'm going to be a blessed individual. I think I'm going to be one that understands that salvation will be preached to the Gentiles. And I think I'm going to be one that understands Your heart and sees the world. And understand that my problems, yes, they are big. But You do care enough to solve them for me so that I can go on out in the world and do something for You and Your kingdom. Would you just lift your hands and voices to God? In the name of Jesus, mighty God. Thank You, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank You, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Holy, 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 holy is the name of the Lord. Righteous, righteous, worthy, worthy, worthy is Jesus my healer. Worthy is Jesus my deliverer. Worthy, worthy, worthy is Jesus my Savior. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Church, I feel like for the first time since I've been in this country that you people are getting ready to really receive some miracles. I do. I really do. I can feel it now. Hopefully I'm right about my feeling. I think I am. And I want you to just relax in the Holy Ghost. I don't want you to be tense. I don't want you to be trying to put on the front. I don't want you to be trying to impress your peers. I want you just to let Jesus move through here. Just let Jesus move through here. Jesus. Jesus. Feed your sheep, Jesus. Move through, God, and touch right now. In the name of Jesus, receive. And I'd like to ask if there's anyone here, just begin to keep praying. Just keep on praying. If there's anybody here that does not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would like to invite you down here with me, and I want to pray with you to be born again. If there's somebody around you, please, that's not saved, I'd like for you to talk to them and just ask them if they'd like to come right up here with me, and we're going to pray with them in the name of Jesus. If there's someone here that does not have Jesus Christ as Lord, I want to invite you to come and accept Him as your Savior and King. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Would you look around you, please, church, and see if there's somebody that needs Jesus? And if there is, would you invite them to come up here and let's ask them a thing, accept Jesus Christ as Lord? Would you please come up here with me if you need Jesus? If you need Jesus, would you please come up here in Jesus' name? Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you need Jesus, I'd sure like to lead you to Him. I can't save you, but He can. Would you please come up here and let me pray with you? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Le rosakate neha. Talibakasha talanaha. Lo ram salam kalandaha. In the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Holy is the name of the Lord.